Hey everyone out there, and thanks for joining us again here at ASAP Nowcast, the podcast for ASAP Now. We have had a wonderful year with all of you and are so grateful to be able to share some of the different voices, views, and perspectives with you all. This month is no different, but to close out the year, we wanted to bring a little cheer and inspiration to a year filled with some big happenings in emergency medicine. Our guest this month is both an emergency physician and an author. Now, we've had other emergency doctors slash authors on a podcast, but this guest really stuck out to me because of how many people independently reached out to me and said that we just had to have her on the pod. So I reached out, and when I read her book, I got it. She tells such a rich and vulnerable and accurate story of her path in emergency medicine and all of the trials and tribulations that go along with it that I think we just relate to so deeply. And what she did with those experiences, with those trials and tribulations, is spin a story about how she used those to really revitalize her life, and in turn, how we can use our own similar stories and similar experiences with some tools to reframe how we feel as well, to empower us. So that was her book. It's called Revitalize, a guidebook to following your healing heartline. So we have here today, Dr. Andrea Austin. Check it out. Hey everyone at ASAP Now. Thanks again for joining us. We have a very special guest here today with us who is a blended emergency medicine physician and also an author. This is Dr. Andrea Austin, who is SIM director and an ER doctor out of Southern California, who is joining us for an interesting topic surrounding her book, Revitalized, a guidebook to following your healing heartline. So Andrea, I want to first thank you for joining us.
Hi, Amy. It's so great to be on the podcast.
Now, this book actually caught my eye a few months ago. And it's funny, since we've been kind of just working out dates on doing the podcast, so many other people have pinged me about making sure that we interview you because this is a memoir, which I thought was really interesting, that goes through your career and a lot of the impact and insights that you had that extend to really all of healthcare. I would argue probably all of people because it really resonated with me, especially as a working woman. So I wanted to give you a chance to first start by just tell us about the book, like give a summary. I had the opportunity to read it, but I want to give the listener some context.
Yeah, well, let me start by saying in some ways, I think writing a book is such a leap of faith because there's already been, you know, millions, if not billions of books written. So why would I, as a busy emergency physician, take the time to write a book? Like, what's the unique value proposition for people? And what it came down to is I read a lot. And I care a lot about the topics that I ultimately wrote about. And there just wasn't a book that really encompassed what it means to be specifically an emergency physician in this era in history. You know, when we look at pre-COVID, it was hard to be an emergency physician. And I would argue the post-COVID era is actually really challenging too. While there's been some strides, we still have a long way to go. So I really wrote this book for the practicing physician, and certainly it's relevant to other healthcare professionals as well, about three main themes: compassion fatigue, moral injury, and emotional trauma. And the book really follows my journey into medicine as someone very altruistic, losing that altruism and becoming very burned out, having a high degree of cynicism about the future of specifically our specialty in emergency medicine, and then reclaiming my agency and to where I am now. I think we have a lot of problems. What's different now is I really think there are some solutions out there, and I'm cautiously optimistic about the future of our specialty.
And that's an optimism I definitely want us to touch on because I agree with you. I think healthcare is a tough place to be, let's say, certainly post-COVID, but probably for some time, you know, before that, whether it's personal practice that's been, you know, burdensome, the financial side that's burdensome, the administrative side that's burdensome, of course, the moral injury you're talking about, but the transformation you talked about where you go through this,
you know, excitement followed by pure jadedness, followed by possible hope. I think that's something we all go through. So I would love to without, you know, giving away the book, I'd love to hear you just kind of talk about that, because that's such a why, I think, on this book of what made you decide to write it.
Yeah, you know, there is a lot of pessimism in medicine in general right now, and it extends beyond medicine. I think we're just going through a time in the world and American culture that's very negative. There's, you know, decreased faith in our institutions and just the way the world is working. And it's easy to get sucked into that negativity. And our shifts are hard in the emergency department. You know, the boarding, the ED violence, like everyone listening to this podcast knows why it's hard to be an emergency physician. And I was willing to walk away from our specialty in 2021. And I took a sabbatical. And that time is really where the initial musings for this book started. I wasn't really thinking about writing a book. I was just learning everything I could about the topic of burnout. And what came of that, and also doing a lot of therapy and coaching, I learned that I actually have a lot of choices in what I do and that I have agency. And I'm going to say something that's probably a bit controversial. And, you know, somebody, if they just soundbite this, my coach, Cherie Johnson, is a psychologist. And she said to me, she used to coach in the business space before she's dedicated her career to helping physicians, that she's never seen a group of professionals that have more training, more access to financial resources, that exhibit less agency than physicians. And the first time I heard this, it really made me mad. I was like, you're blaming us. But as I spent more time really thinking about this and digging in, we do have a lot of choices as physicians. And I think the lack of boundaries that we've exhibited individually and as a whole has contributed to the mess that we are in. Part of the reason I'm involved in ASAP, I mean, the reason I would say not part, the whole reason I'm an ASAP member is we can't change healthcare by ourselves. So there's individual agency and there's collective agency. And one of the key parts of my healing was recognizing that my shifts in the ED, when I have a bad shift in which there was a lot of boarding, I couldn't take care of patients in the way that I thought was right. I can't fix it all by myself. And sometimes I can't even fix it by talking to my medical director or even if I marched into the CEO's office. And that's where ASAP comes into, because we need to work on these things collectively and use our voice with politicians, you know, policymakers. I decided I think I can still do emergency medicine.
And I love that. And that was part of the reason I wanted to feature this book, because I agree with you. I think our specialty is highly skilled, highly educated, highly resourced, but feel so disempowered and oppressed by the system. Whether the system is like, I can't believe that I want to prescribe something and my patient can't afford it because of issues outside of our scope. I can't believe it's like, you know, I can't believe I have to give 30 cc's per kilo because CMS says I have to, even though I don't want to. And now I have to document forever to get out of, you know, the nasty sepsis email. Like, I think that really resonated with me as a message. And I would love to just hear you kind of high level touch on your transformation out of that from disempowerment to empowerment, because I'm with you. I think this is endemic in our specialty.
Yeah, there's so much to say on this, but a few things I would challenge listeners and to challenge the people around you is, we talk about the system like it's this abstract, blob, nebulous thing. But when you really take a step back, the system is us. It's people. And that's hard to accept. But the truth is, the system runs on us. And we do have ways of making change. Now, here's the other really challenging part, I think, especially for emergency physicians, is we are used to rapid change. You know, that's part of the reason we went into our specialty. You come in with a dislocated shoulder, and sometimes within 3 minutes, we have it back in. And we love that instant gratification. But all of the challenges that are driving us crazy, from boarding to ED violence to declining reimbursements, are actually not problems, they're dilemmas. And if they were problems, they would have easy solutions. Dilemmas are highly complicated things that are going to take years for us to fix. That doesn't mean that we can't make progress on it. And we've seen ASAP has delivered on many different advocacy issues. You know, now that you can eat at the doctor station or the nurse's station, that's a small one that was, you know, took a lot of time to make that change, but it happened. I would challenge people that, yeah, it's not going to be easy, but we also need to show up. I got invited to start attending our Code Blue committee meetings in the hospital I work at because I'm the simulation director. And I showed up a few minutes late. I sat in the back of the room and I thought to myself, I'm not going to say anything this first meeting because nobody knows who I am. And I, you know, I don't want to cause any waves this first meeting. And I was the only physician in the room. And while my plan was to stay quiet, within probably 12 minutes, everybody in the room was turning to me and saying, Dr. Austin, what do you think? And I ended up contributing a lot to that meeting. And it was another one of these light bulb moments that the hospital, which largely a lot of times is nurse run, which is, you know, has its advantages that the nurses are so involved, but they don't have the ability to do the same things and the same perspectives as physicians. And me being there in that room, they were craving it. They were so excited to have my input. And that has really, again, led to this transformation, revitalization, that I do matter. I do have expertise. One other thing I'll just say, and I thought of this last night, if I'm really honest, I don't think this made it into the book. And I love moments like this where I can share something that didn't quite make it in. If I really look at the worst parts of my burnout, I was no longer proud of being an emergency physician. And that sounds like, how could I not be proud? Like, we are so educated. We, you know, run to situations in which the average person would faint. How did I not become proud? And the reason I wasn't proud is the way, frankly, we're treated. You know, if you look at the way some healthcare systems treat us, how would I be proud to work at a place that doesn't staff me appropriately, that doesn't make sure I could do my job in a way that's in line with my morals and ethics? And it's taken me a long time to realize that my worth as an emergency physician has zero to do with any medical administrator, any policymaker. It has to do with the care that I provide. And I have worth and value regardless of how, you know, the system treats me sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's a piece of this. I mean, you touch on imposter syndrome a little bit. Like, it feels like we have imposter syndrome sometimes. Like, we don't feel like we have the value to speak up in the meeting. We don't feel like we, you know, can push back against, let's say, various administrative things that we should. Like, why is that? Like, you're right. We have it. And we have it mostly in what you just described as dilemmas, which I love that bifurcation of problems are things we, you know how to deal with. These are like a code. Like, we know ACLS, these dilemmas, like, what do we do about boarding? What do we do about, you know, other like complexities in healthcare that extend beyond us? We have a hard time with those.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
So one of the other things I really loved is when you open the book, your chapter one just caught my eye because it was called Hyperfunctioning and Chaos. And you actually talked about your childhood in there a lot. But when I first read that title, I thought, wow, this is ER doctors, right? We hyperfunction in chaos. Like, we can't sit still. We do great when there's, you know, just disaster around. But this slow bleed, right, what I'm calling what you described a dilemma, is where we have problems like boarding. We don't know what to do about it. But, like, boy, do we know it's terrible day in and day out. What are some of the things that, knowing that we are all, you know, kind of hyperfunctioning in chaos in this specialty, what are some of the things you would say to the ER doctor who's feeling disempowered, who's feeling the moral injury, who's feeling burned out? Like, what are some of the things that you've learned to tell yourself, perhaps, that you can share with them?
Yeah, it's so interesting. I was just reading an article from Psychology Today that's actually drawing a line through how moral injury may have some impact on our physiology, that it may contribute to hormone dysregulation and circadian sleep disturbances. Essentially, if you're feeling, you know, dejected, sad about not being able to do your job in an ethical, moral way, you know, of course it's going to start to cause physiologic distress. And it was really interesting to see Psychology Today like say that so explicitly. So what I would say to people is a lot of times when we're working in the emergency department, the rate at which we're working, you know, it is that hyperfunctioning, and it's pretty easy for our nervous systems to get dysregulated. And so really trying to find practices in which you can regulate your nervous system and really feel grounded and that you can think in a slower pace. I mean, I never thought that I had any ADHD tendencies going into our specialty, and I don't think I did. I enjoyed reading, you know, really long books and had no problem concentrating for really long periods of time. But the longer I've been in my specialty of emergency medicine, I've noticed that sometimes I have a hard time getting into more of that deep thinking, which that deep thinking is what we really need to attack the dilemmas that we're talking about. So I've had to really work on how do I build that muscle back of switching, you know, from task switching very frequently to doing kind of this longer, slower concentration. And this is the type of the way we have to interact when we're talking to administrators, when we're talking to nurse leaders in the hospital. And if we use that, you know, kind of hyper-functioning pace, the rest of the hospital, like, can't really respond to us when we're in that state. So yeah, it's definitely a practice.
And from one of the, I think, more introspective pieces, what I've noticed is, you know, I have a busy shift. Things are crazy. You're running around, like you forget to eat, you forget to pee. And then after that, like the few hours after I leave shift, I feel like I'm still in that mode. Like it's very hard for me to go have like an emotional conversation. It's very hard for me to introspect. It's really hard for me to just chill too. And I think that's something a lot of ER doctors relate to. And I think it has impact in our personal lives. I think it has impact in how we feel about the work we do, just because we don't ever get a chance in a way to stop and reflect on it, because it's so hard to just switch from that. Do you have any thoughts on, having gone through this personal journey, I think more extensively than most common people would, do you have any thoughts on, like, it's the way we're built, but how do we get out of that sometimes?
Yeah. So there's tons of different practices I talk about in my book, but really developing a ritual for when you leave your shifts. And what's been built into mine now, for better or for worse, I have a pretty significant commute. And so I have about an hour in my car, and I generally, on my way home, listen to my Spotify playlist that are all my favorite songs. So they're there's about 400 songs at this point that are very familiar to me, which is calming to have familiar music that I like. Sometimes I sing, sometimes I cry if I'm thinking about a patient that I lost on the shift or a difficult interaction. So by the time I get home, I've transitioned. The other thing I would say to people is the longer I do this job, the more deliberate I am about all of my time pre and post shift. And that means when I get my schedule, I'm looking at, you know, what's going on in the days before shifts, the days after shifts, and being very careful around how I'm preparing myself for that preparation and recovery. You know, I am not scheduling any meetings that involve cognitive strain after an ED shift, because I'm just done. And I'm probably not going to be real receptive to any type of disagreements that could happen. So, I've just learned over time, and we're so, you know, that hyper-functioning, you know, oh, I'll just fit in one more meeting, or, you know, I'll do this, you know, really take a look at One practical tip is to start to, on your calendar, you can add -2, -1, 0, +1, or +2 to your day at the end of the day. And after you've tracked that for about a month, you'll know how you feel on certain days. And with that data, then you can start to make some deliberate changes for the month and months going forward. I don't have to do that anymore because I pretty much know how I'm going to feel based on what's on my calendar. But that's the level of kind of introspection I think we need to do to be able to have careers.
I like that so much because it's data driven, right? You're ranking it and then looking back on it, and it's simple to do. And I've actually never heard someone say that. And schedule is such a huge part of an ER doctor's life, right? It's literally why we pick shifts, because we want to understand when we're on, when we're off. But I think you have a great point that we shouldn't trivialize the impact going into shift or coming off a shift has on us. Now, Andrea, this has been just like an incredible conversation. The book was awesome. I thought it gave a lot of space, even as I was reading, just kind of walk through, reflect, right? You have sections for the reader to stop and think about their own life and what some of your comments mean for them, and kind of helps them work through that. I want to give you a chance to give us takeaways for anyone reading the book, not reading the book. Again, the book is called Revitalized, a guidebook to following your healing heartline. I'd recommend everyone check it out. But Andrea, what are some of the takeaways that you have for those listening on podcast?
Part of the reason I wrote this book is about the physician suicide crisis. Mm-hmm. And it is a crisis. It is appalling how many physicians we're losing to suicide. That is the end state, right, of burnout, depression, anxiety. So any listener out there, just understand, even if you're like, I would never do that, be very cautious in saying that. I never thought I'd have suicidal thoughts. And I share that I did at one point in my career as an emergency physician. So it could happen to any of us. So the phrase, put on your own oxygen mask before helping others, you know, was very popular during the pandemic. And it's trite, but it's true. We cannot do our jobs as healthcare professionals if we're not taking care of ourselves. And we tell ourselves a lot of stories that I can't take time off. I could never take a leave of absence. My, you know, student loan debt, my kids' private schools, whatever. You can't do any of that if you're not alive. And beyond suicide, and this is something I want to challenge ASAP, and I plan to write a resolution about this topic. I have had too many emails and text messages of EM physicians dying at young ages. And there is a BMJ article that talks about physicians, specifically emergency physicians, having a higher mortality, a younger mortality rate than the general population. There is probably truth in that, just from circadian disruptions alone and the cardiovascular impact, and also impacts on dementia, other things. We have to figure that out. It's not acceptable for any of us to lose our lives to suicide or to premature deaths because of the occupational hazards that we are experiencing. And so take care of yourselves. And if that means you go part-time, if that means you take a sabbatical, take the time to take care of yourselves so you can come back, or come back in a capacity that still serves your community. Because whether you practice in the brick and mortar emergency department a lot of us envisioned, or you go on to do something else using your skill set, you're always an emergency physician. And so I just want that message to get out to everyone.
And that's a great one and an important one. And Andrea, I want to thank you again so much for joining us. Again, this is Dr. Andrea Austin with her book, Revitalized, a guidebook to following your healing heartline. Hopefully the listeners here have found a tidbit that you can chew on for your personal life, or, you know, turn it into something more advocacy driven if you so choose. But Andrea, I want to say the book is great. There was a lot to think about both in personal life and professional life for me. So thank you so much for writing it and for coming on and chatting with us.
Thanks, Amy. And listeners can visit my website, AndreaAustinMD.com, to find the book and find other resources. And anyone can join the women's section. Men are welcome to join the women's section of ASEP as well. So we'd love to have all of our listeners register as AWEP members as well.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
We hope you enjoy this month's episode and this year's season of ASAP Nowcast. The magazine is, as always, chock full of other articles. I'd say it's full of articles coming to your mailboxes, but be sure to check out Dr. Dark's update on the new hybrid format for 2025, where we will actually be an online and print split. That update aside, this month's magazine has tons about advocacy, which is a great partner to Dr. Andrea Austin's feature today on how to feel and act empowered as emergency physicians. So check out the articles on NEMPAC, Dr. Dark's interview with Dr. Haddock, women's health advocacy, and a feature on how one emergency physician became a state legislator. Of course, there is much, much, much more, both in the magazine and on our site, asapnow.com, where you can see all the articles in the archives and review the whole past year and even before that. As always, tweet us if you have an idea at asapnow, or feel free to tweet me direct at Amy Faith Ho. We would love to hear your thoughts and feedback and keep you tuning in to Nowcast. So thanks everyone again for listening, and I will see you all next year. Yeah.